Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? Welcome back. This is Andrew Morgans, founder of Marknology, here as today's host of Startup Hustle. We're going to be talking about using psychology to sell more. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult. Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably and has the platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. Like I said, today's title is Using Psychology to Sell More, but we're going to be getting into the founder story as always, as well as just talking about what CRO or conversion rate optimization really is, what it looks like, you know, how emotional content connects better with customers and ultimately helps you sell more, whether you're on Amazon, you're on a landing page, you're on social media, getting engagement, whatever that looks like. Without further ado, Carl Vischer, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Andrew. Really excited to record with you today.
Yeah, Carl is actually in Germany tonight. So I think it's around 9:30 or 10 p.m. There his time. So thank you very much for staying up late to share some value with us today. And he's a co-founder of a company called Accelerated. Accelerated works with brands, D2C brands, with A/B testing, and ultimately helping them improve their conversion rate. And so, you know, this is a really big thing. This is a really big thing when it comes down to you're spending money on paid media, you're spending money on Amazon ads, you're spending money to get customers to your stores to see your stuff. You have to make the most of it, and that's what, you know, conversion rate optimization really does. But before we jump into that and really maybe, you know, the core of today's episode, I'd love to get to know about you, Carl. I think the listeners really appreciate just understanding where the advice is coming from. Right. And, you know, is this something like, have you always been, in e-commerce? Like, did you always know you're going to be an entrepreneur or a business owner or a founder? I definitely was someone that never really expected to myself to be a business owner or be an entrepreneur. So it kind of hit me upside the head whenever I found e-commerce. But where's your journey begin?
It's a bit similar to yours. So when I was around 14, 15 years, I didn't really know where to take it and like what I wanted from life. And I was going through like a lot of like weird periods in school, and I didn't really understand stuff, and I also didn't really like school. So I was just like in this weird phase for like 2-3 years almost. And then I started watching a lot of YouTube videos around like motivation, psychology and stuff. And I went down the rabbit hole of Tony Robbins videos, right? Mm. So I watched hours and hours of Tony Robbins videos. I started reading his books and like generally books around motivation and psychology. And initially, I wanted to use that knowledge to motivate me and kind of understand where I'm taking my life, right? So I wanted to have an impact on myself, and then in the next step, also have an impact on the relationships that I have with people. So, for example, I read books like How to Make Friends and Influence People and stuff like that, right? So I got super obsessed with this whole understanding of how this thing up here works, the brain and the mind. And I just went down the rabbit hole and picked up every book, went to seminars, did coachings and studies and everything about psychology, just because I found it super fascinating of how to apply that knowledge and how much of an impact it can have on your life. So that's kind of how I got started with everything. And I think subconsciously over time, while watching all of these big guys like Tony Robbins, for me, in my mind, I made the connection between they live a happy, successful, free life, and they are an entrepreneur. And somehow this connection was built back then when I was 16, 17, reading these books and watching these videos that I felt like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I have to go down the road of being an entrepreneur so I can live a free lifestyle where I decide to do whatever I want and what I like, right? So that's kind of where it started. And then I literally went on Google and typed how to make money online. Probably like everybody in their journey in the early days just went on Google trying to understand how you can make money on the site, make money online. And what stuck with me was buying and reselling limited sneakers and clothes. So I started with buying Yeezys, Jordans, Supreme, Palace, and all of that, and then reselling it on eBay and those platforms later, right? So that's how I got started with like online marketing and e-commerce in some form. And then over time, I also tried like running a Shopify brand, and I also did Amazon FBA in the beginning. So I really resonated with when you were talking about that. And that's when I met my now co-founder for the agency. So back then when I was running my brand in the Amazon FBA, he was a freelancer for conversion optimization. And we met through a mutual friend. And when I met him, it was like two of my worlds of passions were colliding, like online marketing, selling things online, and psychology. In both together is conversion optimization. Because it may sound like really complex or really technical, but all you do with conversion optimization is you understand user behavior and then you influence user behavior so you can get more people to buy, right? So it has like really, really deep basis in human psychology, consumer behavior, and all of that, obviously combined with the online marketing direct response skill set. And for me, it was like, wow, like this is the shit. This is so sick. This is so sexy. So that's why I transitioned from like running the brand to starting it as a service. And now over the past like 3 years, we built it into like a agency where we now work with like big 8-figure brands and a team of 40 people solely focused on optimizing websites, building funnels, building landing pages, and running a lot of A/B tests.
No, that's amazing, and thank you for sharing that. I definitely started finding that mindset, mental health, positivity, that kind of literature. I found it a lot later in life than 16 or 17. So you're a lucky man in that regard. I went through like a crazy breakup around 25 that had me kind of just like searching for like, you know, help. And in that I also found e-commerce. So my company's name is Marknology. I think you'll like this because for me, e-commerce sits in the middle of marketing and technology, right? It's like, you have to have a marketing creative mind, which the best marketers are learning about psychology and customer behavior and all of that. But you also have to be technically savvy. You have to understand how to build and deploy a landing page, how to track attribution, you know, set up pixels, you know, all those things. So it's this blend really of both. You used to be able to be a marketer and you didn't need to use technology, right? You could go out with pieces of paper and hand them out or be deliver them in the mail. You didn't really have to use technology, but now e-commerce is technology is definitely involved, you know, whether you're using AI or whatever. And you briefly mentioned it, but you know, 40 employees, that's and your brands being 8 figures or larger, that's pretty impressive. How long have you guys been working together building the agency?
So we started early 2020 when COVID hit, and we were basically just spending a lot of time on Zoom, like we are right now, like talking, hanging out. And that's when we had like the first spin-off of the idea to start working together and building it as a service, because him and I worked really, really well in terms of the execution, right? So he used to be like the brain telling me what to do, and I used to be the execution, so the technology part, right? In terms of like deploying all of that, building the pages, and it just worked so, so efficient, and we liked each other a lot. And that's why we then decided to start building it into a service, and then over time into like an agency.
Is your team mainly there in Germany, or are you guys across the world? Like, you know, where's your team based?
We have a couple of people in Germany, but funny enough, the majority of people are in Eastern Europe. So we have an office in Bulgaria, which is like an office for developers. So we have like around 10 developers working there right now. And then we also have a lot of people in Ukraine. So when we talked off camera before, I was already thinking about that, because you mentioned the other podcast you did with the Ukrainian guy. And we have a lot of people in the Ukraine, especially data analysts and all sort of like technical professionals. And it's so, so inspiring to see them work in those circumstances, because we have this like Monday team meeting, which is like a gratitude meeting to kind of set the tone for the week and build a culture and connect everybody. And everybody's supposed to talk about like what they liked about last week, what they're excited about this week, what they're thankful for, what they're grateful for today, just to like really focus on that and bring like the positivity and the spirit. And like they sit there and they say they are thankful that they still have their whole body and their family is healthy and everything. And it just really humbles you and brings you down to earth. And for me, I'm always sitting there and I'm always like so fascinated by these guys being like so driven and so hardworking, all while being so happy and thankful for like what they're doing. And it's just mind blowing.
It's a reminder, isn't it? Like, I'm around quite a few wealthy people when I go to these Amazon conferences or events, and you know, I have some very successful friends, and it's always like I try to make note of it now, like, you know, while I'm on my journey, like, you know, the things that they talk about, they're there for the community most of the time. They're there to just give back. They're very humble, you know, and they find gratitude and happiness and joy in the simple things. And for me, it's just a reminder, like, I don't need to get to there to figure out those things. I can learn all those things now on my way, you mm-hmm. know, or you see someone that is very wealthy or successful in that regard, that's unhappy. And you're like, why? You have all of these things. I know of people in the world that are like, you know, working hard just to get clean water, and they still find ways to be gratitude. So it's just, I think it's such an amazing thing in e-commerce to be able to have teams that are international and come from all different parts of the world to kind of just really make awesome teams. So obviously with conversion rate optimization, like graphic design and building out landing pages and things like that is involved. Where are your designers? Where are your designers from?
We have some designers from the Ukraine, and we have one designer sitting in Bali. And we have designers in Portugal.
Cool. I love it. I just like hearing where, you know, the cultures breed to kind of different specialties, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've often heard of Eastern Europe for programmers, developers, you know, PPC advertising, data analysts, like very math driven.
Yeah.
Very math driven, practical, pragmatic, you know. So that's really awesome. And I also had a lot of friends that their teams were built out in the Ukraine, and they really struggled. You know, not everybody, you know, some of those teams broke up. And so it's you know, it's awesome to hear that your guys and girls are still doing so great. Okay. Awesome. I just like getting into the nitty gritty of kind of like what a team looks like. And, you know, you talk to someone in Germany, and I think the assumption can be like, well, your team's in Germany. And that's not the case at all. Like, right. My team is in Latin America. I'm in India, Pakistan, you know, my team's all over the world. So while we're based here in the Midwest, maybe 10, 12 of us here, you know, the rest are around the globe. Talk to me about, let's get into some of the nitty gritty of like, you know, conversion rate optimization and like what that looks like. So let's set a practical or a hypothetical situation. You know, you've got a brand that comes to you. Right now you guys are dealing with probably 8-figure brands, so that whenever you make changes, the changes are a lot more drastic, or they can afford your services, or you see the impact much quicker. But let's simplify it a little bit just for the sake of this conversation. And you're coming across the brand with a single SKU. You know, they're not getting the conversion rates that they want, or they're not getting, you know, the ROI is not there on paid media. And what one thing I do know on Amazon is that a lot of times they will be focused on paid media, PPC or advertising dollars, but the work really needs to be done on the product page, you know, or on the listing photos or things like that. Talk to me about where you kind of start with your thinking when evaluating a new brand.
So I always like to start understanding their current situation. So for Amazon, that's going to be different than from an online store, right? So Amazon, it's really simple if you look at the way that Amazon works, right? Either way, you have a high ranking, right? So you get organic traffic, or you push PPC traffic. So Amazon is rather like pull marketing, because they're already having the buying intent and it's more about comparing the different products. And now they have to decide based on the value proposition, price, reviews, and like the different products next to each other, which one to buy. So on Amazon, the biggest impact is like this mixture of the price, reviews, and the biggest impact is going to be the product images, right? Because they are up there, and then later on, obviously the A plus or like EBC content that you have done on the page, but the biggest one is going to be the product images. And this is, it has been the like a huge differentiator if you were following a smart structure. Now, like more and more people are investing more money into getting good, like well thought through product images. But still, like a lot of people are leaving money on the table simply because they push all the traffic, or like they pay for the clicks, but then they are not converting them, right? And if you're thinking about the way that the business works, you can either cut down your acquisition costs by optimizing your PPC campaigns, or you can increase your conversion rate. So basically increase how much you make per click, right? And for Amazon, it's, I would say it's almost simple. You have to think of the images as a sales funnel that you take your customers through, right? On the website, you obviously have way more room to play with. And for example, I have a landing page and a product page and a homepage and everything. On Amazon, it really comes down to the product images. So you got to think of the product images as a sales funnel. You have the, what is it called? Like the first image with the white background, right? That everybody has served. And then afterwards, the sales funnel start. First picture, similar to the first touchpoint on the website, should be the main value proposition of the product, right? So you want to have a high quality shot of the product with the main value proposition. So the main value it gives to the customer when they buy it, right? So that's always going to be the first touchpoint. Whether it's on the product image on Amazon or whether that's on the hero section on the landing page for your direct-to-consumer brand. That's always the most important thing and aspect that you have to get across, the value proposition, right? So your target audience needs to understand what's in it for me. Like, why should I buy this product? Number one.
So what you're saying, just for clarity for anyone listening, is the first thing that you're hitting is not necessarily the problem that you're solving. But instead leading with value.
The value proposition can be that you're solving a huge problem for them. Okay. So the value proposition can either way be really solution focused and benefit focused, or it's really problem solving focused, right? So value proposition is, if the main value of your product is solving a problem, then that should be included in a value proposition. If the main value of your product is more emotional, like jewelry or fashion or skincare or makeup or something like that, then it's more about the emotion or the benefit of the product, right? Like you look good, you feel good, and that stuff. If it's a problem-solving product, something like acne, pimple set or something, then it's more about get rid of that bad skin, right? Well, that's how you got to think about the value proposition. So that's always has to be the first touch point to get that across. Like, what does the product do for the customer when they get it?
Boom, front and center, like right at the top of the page.
Yeah. So either way, first image or right at the top of the page. Then you kind of want to go into the product itself, right? So you always want to talk about the product features and then the product benefits. You know this because you run a lot of listings, that you always want to think about, like, with each feature that my product has, what is the benefit for the customer, and how can I combine it with the keywords that resonates with my customer and that they are looking for on Amazon, right? So everything that I'm talking about, by the way, should be based on the data from your target audience. So you want to, before trying to come up with a design or a landing page or something, you want to go into the research period of your target audience and the market and the people you're selling to, because otherwise you're not really knowing which pain point to hit or what problem is your product solving or how to write the value proposition, right? So that always has to come before that.
Okay, so on Amazon, you know, things that come to mind would be a software called PickFu or Product Pinion, or maybe I'm scraping reviews of competitors to see what customers are saying. Like Product Pinion and PickFu are two sites where you can upload your images and kind of create these A-B tests, these tests from customers to say, do you like this one or do you like this one? Do you like this one? Do you like this one? You know, is it clear what I'm selling? Is it unclear what I'm selling? You can just, you know, you can test. You can really try a lot of things. What would be the equivalent of that kind of research on the D2C side?
It's pretty similar. So you want to do what I like to call message mining, right? So you want to go through customer reviews, customer testimonials. And for D2C, that can be found either way on the page with the reviews, but that can also be other point of contacts that your customers have with you, like Instagram DMs, emails to your customer support, any tickets, comments under your ads on social media, right? You can go on stuff like Reddit or Quora, or even if you have a D2C brand, go on Amazon and find your competitor products. And what I like to do is scrape, for example, 10 to 20,000 reviews or pieces of text, right? And then put them in a huge spreadsheet and analyze for what are the most common pain points, or what are the most common stories they tell, or what are the most common aspects that made them buy the product, right? And then it's really easy to figure out the value proposition. Then it's really easy to resonate with your customers with your copywriting, because you're giving them exactly how they would describe it, right? So that's kind of how I like to go about it. So we did this, for example, for a brand called Pillow Slides, and they sell these slides that are really comfortable, right, to like wear at home and kind of chill out in. And going through the reviews, I found that a lot of people are saying happy, a lot of people are saying comfortable, some people are saying pain relief. And then a lot of people were saying they feel like walking on a cloud. Like so many people were saying that. And I would never have come up with the idea to make that analogy, but like all of the customers were already using that. So it just worked perfectly. And now we're using it as the main value proposition on the homepage. So customers instantly understand the value proposition. Because with like saying this, it gets all of the benefits across, right? Because you instantly have this situation in your head where you walk on like really cushy
weightless shoes, right? You're thinking weightless, you know. So question for you, so that seems pretty straightforward if the brand has already been in existence, or if the brand has already been you know, like running ads, has social media, doing that. What about a product that, you know, you're creating the landing page, you're creating the website for a launch, and so, you know, I know there's some research you can do ahead of time. But are you suggesting that maybe you're running ads and you're running certain things like that just to get feedback and just to get, you know, customers' opinions? Or how would you go about, I guess, launching with a landing page as a starting point before you have like a lot of feedback and data? Is that a difficulty, and that's why you guys don't work with smaller brands a lot of times, is because there's still a lot of heavy lifting to do there? In this scenario, what would you suggest?
What I would suggest, it's pretty similar to like running Vine on Amazon, right? So you want to get like a first batch of products to people who can test a product and give you the feedback. Okay. So either way, you want to invest in that yourself and, for example, acquire some customers or find some product testers. Or what you want to do is you want to find like real direct competitors who are selling the exact same product on Amazon or online. And nowadays, it's going to be pretty easy to find someone who's doing that, because there's so many brands and so many products on Amazon. So then you can also go through like their reviews. Or what you can do is try to find an online forum or like go on Reddit, go on Crower or something like that, and try to find the community that's talking about that product, right? So there's like a community for everything, for makeup, skincare, laptops, iPads, iPhones, technology, right? Everything like there, you will find a community or like a forum for that, that you can kind of dig into. And it doesn't necessarily only have to be reviews from your customer for your product. It can also be more general, trying to understand the psychology behind them, right?
The customer in general.
Exactly. Understanding the psychology of your target audience that you're selling to.
I love it. I think when I was early in the Amazon space, a lot of the emotion that I was having to battle in order to sell was fear. Fear driven. A lot of people are scared of Amazon, scared of it taking over their distribution, scared of it killing their margins, scared of Amazon copying their products, scared of Amazon keeping their data, just like fear, 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 fear. And so understanding that, my response to that was to build a trustworthy agency that put out just tons of value building trust. Why? Because people are afraid. So build trust so that they'll take that leap with you. You know, just as an example, it's not necessarily a product, but definitely the feedback that I would get as I pitched and pitched and pitched and pitched, which you do it in person versus like a Facebook ad or something like that. But you're pitching, you're getting feedback, you're getting pushback, you're getting no's. What are those no's telling you? You know, what are they, what are reasons, people's reasons for saying no or saying yes? Because the no's can help you create the yeses, and you know, the yeses can help you create more yeses.
Yeah.
But okay, so we're evaluating both in Amazon and in D2C. But you've got, I think one thing that I notice a lot of when the brands are not at that eight figure level is that they often have a website, you know, with let's say it's got 50 SKUs or something like that, nothing crazy. And a lot of times I see the absence of a landing page. Talk to me about like the difference from your perspective, make it as simple as you can, the difference in a product page and a landing page, why you need both, and some of the different things that a website brings to the table that let's say an Amazon page does not, and why these can be used within a website.
Great question. So a product page usually is pretty straightforward, right? It's only focused on selling the product, and basically it's always the product images on the top left, and on the top right, you will find the product price, some form of description, and the buy now button. And then sometimes, depending on the store, they have certain sections similar to EBC content beneath there where they talk about product benefits, or they have like a extended product section. And then below that, they usually show our other recommended products to try to increase average order value. So that's a product page. Pretty basic, pretty straightforward, pretty focused on selling. With landing pages, and the main benefit of using a landing page is that you can tell a story, right? It's not directly focused on selling. It's more about really grabbing the attention of the prospect and kind of sucking them into the funnel, right? So think about it as selling offline. A product page is like walking up to somebody and telling them, hey, buy my product. A landing page is like, oh, what's your name? Oh, nice to meet you, Andrew. What do you like? What do you don't like? Oh, you have this pain point. Hey, I have the perfect product for you. Maybe you want to buy it. Here are like 100 happy customers who bought it and hear their stories. Oh, and here's an FAQ and everything. And I'm going to answer all your questions. If you want, you can say yes, and then I'm going to lead you to the cashier, right? So a landing page is more about kind of creating a customer journey and taking somebody from being a cold prospect to a hot lead that's ready to buy, right? That's the main idea of the landing page, and that's why it's so valuable. Because if you think about the customer journey, a lot of brands just have like regular creatives, I would call them, and then they push it straight to a product page, and then they wonder why the prospect doesn't buy.
Right.
Yeah, because it was low or medium quality traffic and they weren't necessarily hot leads, right? And then you just push them to a product page and show them this is a $50 product, buy, right? What you should do is more think about a customer journey that your prospect can follow. So you show them an interesting creative that's really well produced. Then you push them to a landing page with the main value proposition, slowly opening up the product, talking about social proof, showing testimonials, showing UGC content, maybe having an objection handling section like FAQ or like a comparison table or section that's handling the biggest objections or fears or pain points. Mm-hmm. And you take them through the whole story. And at the end of the landing page, they are ready to buy, right? They don't have a single question, objection, or anxiety in their mind anymore that's going to keep them from buying. So that's the beauty of using landing pages.
I love it. Thank you. That was a beautiful explanation. And I think something that's overlooked. You know, if you're an influencer and people are going to buy whatever you post, maybe you send them straight to the product page because they've already determined that they like you, they trust you, they want to buy what you like. You know, it's good enough to get the job done. If you are bringing in a cold or immediate, you know, lukewarm, maybe someone that just saw your brand for the first time on Facebook or something like that, then you have to do almost as if you were convincing them in person. Let me tell you why this headset is the best headset that I've used in, you know, in a long time. It like has a charging station built in. It lasts for hours. Look at all these other people that are using it. It's like, you know, look at it compared to Sony and compared to Beats by, you know, Dre and, you know, AirPods. And you're like, oh, so look, it beats it in all these features. And look, like it has a warranty that lasts for 5 years. So if anything happens, like the money you're paying for it, you're going to get it and yada, yada, yada. And you're essentially not just throwing out information, but as if you were convincing someone in person why this product is amazing. If they're going to say, well, why should I buy that, Drew? You're going to be like, you're going to give them a word of mouth explanation on why you think they should buy it, right?
Yeah.
And that's what a product page is not doing well, right? So what are some, before I go into the next question, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor that makes these whole episodes possible, Fullscale.io. Finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit Fullscale.io, where you can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. Carl, question around... Whenever you're looking at brands, they've come to you, they're saying, Carl, I think we can be doing better on our conversion rate, but they don't know where exactly to start. They're not telling you this. What are some things that you commonly see, that brands or people doing it in-house are messing up? What are some common mistakes or common things to like look for that most brands are just not paying enough attention to?
Yeah. I think most of the brands are missing the aspect of building trust, right? You were just talking about this too. Like if you want to sell somebody in person, you got to establish a connection and you got to build trust before asking them for the sale. And same with like trying to sell online. You want to show happy customers. You want to show reviews. You want to show press releases of your brands. You want to show authority people like a doctor or like an influencer vouching for your product. You maybe want to show magazine releases or like TV releases or something like that, right? So you want to have all of these elements that are giving the prospect trust that they can buy from you. And a lot of brands are really missing out on that, even if it's like really simple to integrate on the website, right? It's easy to show pictures of happy customers or to take some user-generated content pieces and put them on your product page. Or find out like all of the press releases, all of the magazine releases or TV shows that you had with the product and put them on the page. Or finding like an influencer or an authority person and pay them to vouch for your product and then you take their name and their picture and put it on the page, right? So this is often overlooked for like D2C brands and really easy to fix. Secondly would be user testing. And you talked about this earlier too, like asking people if they rather like A or B. You can pay companies to push like 100 people, 200 people through your website with certain objectives, like buy this t-shirt or buy this pair of shoes in this size. And they will go through your website and they will tell you where they have questions. And they will also tell you points of friction in the customer journey. Something like on the homepage, they clicked on the menu and then they didn't know where to find the black shoes, right? Because you only had them listed under sneakers somewhere hidden. Or on the product page, they wanted to click on the buy now button, but then there was a pop-up overlaying that and that was annoying, right? So you want to look somebody else over the shoulder, like a friend or family member going through your store. And then you will see where they are struggling or where they have friction in the customer journey, right? So this is a huge thing, especially nowadays in the attention economy that we're living in. People, if a page like takes too long to load, or if there's something that's annoying, or if there's any friction like in the process, they would just jump off and not come back, right? So it's so important to make it as easy as possible to buy, like a super simple customer journey that they can follow. So those two, like building trust and then super simple customer journey, are going to be big ones.
I love it. I think that is fantastic feedback. And something that you're right, like we don't think about it enough on the D2C side. I think on the services side, we think trust, because you're working with people. But it matters on the product side too, you know, whether it says made in USA or it says, you know, eco-friendly, or it says like women-owned business, or it says as seen on TV or on the Forbes top 100 or something like that. These things build trust because you see that something else has vouched for it, or that they have some level of connection. It's an emotional connection, you know, with whoever they're selling to. I think also something to notice, at least that I've noticed on the Amazon side, is like if I'm selling on Amazon Germany versus I'm selling in Amazon.com, the content differs quite a bit. I think in general, like Germans want to be sold facts and details and get straight to the point and be like logical about what you're selling and just be straightforward. And American customers, or the West at least, want like that emotional feel, make me feel good to sell to me. I want to buy from someone I feel good, you know? And so it's more flowers and colorful words and all that kind of stuff instead of direct bullet points. But it makes a difference. It makes a big difference. Kind of like, don't waste my time. Just, I don't trust you. Show me exactly what's up with the product, you know, kind of thing. So knowing, just as a silly example, but like knowing what market you're selling in matters as well when it comes to localization and things like that. But the trust factor being a really big one, I think that was fantastic. Okay, so, and something else I think about is like, you know, a lot of times everyone's obsessed, or like the best ROI is retargeting, right? So Facebook and Instagram, that was one of the big things that happened with the iOS update, was it wasn't as easy to track customers to be able to retarget them. And that was what made ads so successful. Well, there's two ways to think about that, right? Because you can think about not having the ability to retarget, but what that's doing is saying, hey, I didn't sell that well the first time. I'm hoping by the second, third, fourth, fifth time of retargeting them, I can convince them to buy, because you're getting that many more times to get in front of them. And I understand that. But what if you did a better job on the front end of converting them when you got there the first time, either because you had a great landing page or you were just so much better at the content? So a lot of times I see that people that are not that great at content or conversion rate optimization tend to believe in these other tactics to find their success, maybe better PPC, maybe better targeting, better strategies around ads, when really they go hand in hand, you know, and improving, you can prove one or the other. For me, I like the just really, really, really focusing on conversion rate, because once you've got that investment dialed in, it's not something that you have to continue to pay for over and over and over in like paid media, you know? So, something interesting, just as a fun fact, we're actually working on your water there now. We're working on the brand San Pellegrino, so yeah. that's a fun one we're working on right now as a team to rebrand on Amazon and actually going out
favorite. To Virginia. I drink it every single day.
Well, you're supporting me, so I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Awesome. Well, as we're rounding out, like this has been honestly very helpful and even answered some things for me. I like to end the show with a couple of questions. Like, one, what is something that you guys are working on there at Accelerated that you're excited about? Like, you're just like something new, you guys are moving into something, you're having a lot of fun, you're excited about. And then something for you personally as Carl, you know, what you're working on, what you're excited about this year outside of the business, you know, to drive yourself forward.
Yeah. Really like those questions. The business question, I'm currently working together with KinoBody. He's a big fitness influencer. And we have been creating completely new offers to run for cold traffic, right? So that was super interesting, because he has like a wide range of products. So he has supplements, he has clothing, he has info products like video coaching, low ticket, high ticket. He has one-on-one coaching and all of these different products. So what I did based on like the current narrative and social media is create a challenge based off two supplements that are focused on like increasing testosterone, increasing mood, blood flow and everything. And combining that with a video coaching, like a nutrition guide, diet guide, and also a training guide, and kind of selling it all together in a crazy bundle with a 30-day challenge and a community in the back end. So that was super interesting, super exciting to kind of think about a great way of selling these supplements different from everybody else. So while, because you kind of stand out of the market, right? So we use this narrative of like, be a high value man, testosterone, go fighting, go become the best version. And in that created this like 30-day challenge where you master your testosterone and you get into like a better shape and everything. So there was
how to best use the product, right? How do you best use the product? I think what's really exciting about that from a business standpoint is the AOV and the cost of goods, right? So once that course, the coaching program is made, you know, and in a time where margin is just getting shrunk, it's a way to go out there and find, you know, and increase your AOV. So hopefully we don't share these ideas with too many people, because I think that's absolutely, absolutely brilliant. And something I was just talking about with a friend, they sell like dinnerware, and it was coming with certain like cooking, mixology, those types of courses to go along with it whenever they buy that particular package. I don't want to put them on blast in case they don't want me to share that, but I think that's super, super cool. And then follow up to that, you know, something you're working on personally.
Personally, I want to spend way more time on making music. So I did that a lot before I did the business, and then I kind of just focused on the business, and now I'm getting more into the creative side. So I've been producing like hip hop, R&B and trap beats for ages. And now I'm just like way more like allocating more time into that. And yeah, I just really enjoy that. I want to focus more on that personally, because I really like being in this kind of creative state where you take something and like you build something, and at the end you have something like that you're really vibing with. You know what I mean?
Like right. It's right. It's in alignment. Yeah. And so I personally, something similar between us, I toured for almost five years before I got into e-commerce. I was touring full time. It was a hard life. You know, you're not making a lot of money. Spotify wasn't out. So you really were like touring, you know, to get seen and get visibility. But it was such a big source of my inspiration, a big source of my creativity. It just didn't pay me, right? I was just tired of being broke. And I mean, it was paying me, but not enough to to have a family or take a girl on a date or anything like this, you know? So it was like everything went back into my music. And I got away from that for maybe 10 years into e-com, just building the business. But since the pandemic, I've just been on a mad craze of just like touring the world, chasing music, you know? Like I went to Berlin to see Boris Brekka and August Burns Red, two of my favorite artists. And I've been doing that because when I'm there, I disconnect from the work. I think artists lead the way in regards to trying new things and being innovative, and from fashion to the things they're doing with music and technology, it's always led the way, similar to like video games, I guess, in a lot of ways. They really lead the industry in certain things for innovating. So I think that's beautiful. I challenge you maybe to think about, how you could work alongside an artist, now that you understand branding and product development and product creation. And I think of myself, I'm an artist, I'm an athlete too. I can play sports, I can play music, but I think of myself more as a producer or like a coach on a team. I can curate the right things, I know the right vibe, bring the right people together, you know, deliver it in a way that's an experience and really cool. And so I'm on a challenge to, you know, find the right artist and then take what I know through e-com and influencer marketing and things like that and really explode something. So there's new creative ways, I think, that we can stay involved with music, you know, whether that's producing it yourself or just getting involved behind somebody else and being like, let me show you how to really do this. Because a lot of times people that are full artists, they just have a really hard time understanding business. They have a hard time understanding monetizing themselves and the value of their time, because they're not paid for their time. They're paid when they have a delivered product, right? So the artist could spend hundreds of hours on an album, right? And it's no different than someone spends 20 hours on an album if they finish it. So just some fun stuff, and I love it. I like, you're in Germany, so I'm like, yeah, you're probably the best. Probably the best DJs. They're all in. I'm a little biased, but that's really cool. And I'll love to stay connected. If you have some projects, you'll have to like send them my way.
Yeah, we do.
So I can stay connected. And then lastly, as we sign off, like, where can people find you, get connected with you if they'd like to reach out or learn more about your services?
Best is going to be Twitter. So I'm most active on Twitter, just Karl Weiche, same as my name. And I'm also replying to DMs if they are not bad code outreach.
Awesome. And I'll have any of his handles or company information in the show notes. So anyone driving in their car or whatever can look up Karl and get in contact with him. If you guys have a D2C site or a brand that's doing well, it just needs to be doing better. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. So Karl, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate the value you brought to the Startup Hustle community here today. And thanks for staying up late as well.
Thanks so much for having me, bro. It was really nice.
You're welcome. And thanks again to our sponsor, Fullscale.io. They have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit Fullscale.io, all you need to do is answer a few questions, then let the platform match you up with a fully vetted, highly experienced team of software engineers, testers, and leaders. At Fullscale, they specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit fullscale.io. Everything we do on this podcast is free. So thanks again to our sponsors for making this possible so we can promote it and get it out to everybody. We really appreciate you, and we'll see you next time, hustlers.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it like we do it.